Listen, I've got Brother Abhiram Prabhu, because many of you, probably most of you, don't know him. He doesn't, we've rarely seen here in New Jersey. He's one of the senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada and is very close to Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada is here. He served as temple president of our Miami temple, of our Calcutta temple, when Bhakti Charamaraj joined. He's been instrumental in developing the Mayapur project. He has a background in property development projects, and he used his skill for developing the Mayapur Vrindavan property, which was so beautifully done, really first beautifully done project of its kind. In Vrindavan, or anywhere in our society, I think. During Srila Prabhupada's time, he also served during Prabhupada's last days as Prabhupada's personal nurse. When Prabhupada was in India, and then when he went to England and came back. And he's very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Currently, he's giving his attention to helping facilitate and take care of the devotees who are dedicating themselves to going out on the Sankirtan party every day to spread Harinam in New York City, because they don't have much facility and they need someone who can help and support them and guide them. So that's his current project. And I'm very fortunate to have his company, and we're all very fortunate to have his company. Very expert devotee in many, many areas. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gananjana Shodakaya Shashun Niditam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Sri Chaitanya Manogastam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Vithati Shapadantika Vandeham Sri Buddha Sri Jata Padukamana Sri Gurun Vaishnavasam Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Vaganatam Vitamstam Sujivam Shadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitanshya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Golangi Radhe Krishna Vishali Krishna Bhanu Sute Devi Kanamami Olipriye Vanja go to the Rubyascha, Kudasinto, Vedasha, Pitita Nam Pavanebio, Vaishnavebio, Namonga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gora Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Shastra it said, Acharya Mam Bhajaniyam Navamanyeta Karnachar Namarcha Bhuti Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayakuni. Lord Krishna says that you should know the bona fide spiritual master to be as good as myself. Acharya Mahavaja, you should know him to be me. Know him to be me doesn't mean that the spiritual master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Krishna's position. But Kintu Prabhuya Priya Evadasya, because he's very dear to Krishna, he is honored as much as Krishna, because he's representing Krishna. Well, the Lord says, Acharya Mahavajaniya, Navamanyeta Karjit, one should never neglect a bona fide spiritual master. Namartya Bhuti Suyeta, one should never think of him in material terms. Rupa Goswami also cautions us that we shouldn't see the spiritual master in terms of external features. Oh, he has a bad complexion, or his some ailment or infirmity, something in terms of the body. That's material vision. Seeing the external features only. You're in the wrong place, I can tell you that right now. Unless you want to sit and listen to a very boring lecture, my dear child, I think you're in the wrong place. The right place is where you can have fun. One should never be envious of the spiritual master. One should never think him an ordinary human being. One time, somebody's turned up the volume here or turned on reverb or something like that. Hare Krishna. I guess it's okay.
Just echoed for a few seconds.
Yeah, it just echoed for a few seconds, but now it's back to what it was. One time, there was a advertisement, maybe back in 1968, published in the Bhaktivedanta, showing a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and said, "This man has changed the history of the world. Do you know him?" And Prabhupada objected that to call the spiritual master a man is the wrong etiquette. The spiritual master should not be seen as a man. Of course, externally, he's a man. But one shouldn't see that way. One has to see that he's representing the absolute truth. One has to see that he's representing Krishna himself, that he's coming from the transcendental plane. One time I asked Srila Prabhupada, sometimes it seems that from the material point of view, the spiritual master makes mistakes. Prabhupada said, that is material point of view. He said, we have to see how the spiritual master is engaged in the service of Krishna, how he's preaching, how he's spreading the message of Krishna. Not that the spiritual master is a magician. That's not the point. You have to see how he's spreading the message of Krishna. Is that machine going there still in that hand? Shopping machine. That's better. The spiritual master is very dear to Krishna because he takes great responsibility in the service of Krishna for spreading Krishna's message and training devotees and bringing them back to devotional service at Krishna's lotus feet. So Sri Bhakti Charamarsh has taken that very great responsibility on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada means on behalf of the entire disciplic succession, and finally on behalf of Krishna himself. Evam parampara praptam acharya shivaka. Yes, Srila Prabhupada himself recognized Bhakti Charamarsh for his transcendental qualities.
when I first met Bhakti Charamash, he was serving as Prabhupada's cook in Bombay. And I sort of thought, are we switching?
Hare Krishna. Well, before we switch, let's see if this works. Hare Krishna. I think I'll stick with this one.
Hare Krishna.
Sounds the same.
Sounds the same.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, this one sounded the same before. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And in my usual sort of callous way, I thought, well, who's this person? And I didn't give him much significance. I thought, okay, he's the cook. Besides, and I'm a, you know, I'm the editor, and I'm this, and I'm the senior designer. He's okay. The cook is there. And shortly thereafter, the cook took sannyas. Brahmin initiation, sannyas, everything, because Prabhupada recognized. And anyone can recognize Bhakti Charamaraj as a natural Vaishnav, ideal Vaishnav. So many of us, we're sort of rescue jobs. You know, we're picked up from some lost corner of American society. But Srila Prabhupada could see that Bhakti Charamaraj was not your ordinary candidate, so he quickly promoted him and brought him into his personal association. I remember a memory that stands out in my mind is of being with Srila Prabhupada in his last days. I'd come, I forget exactly when. Prabhupada was already there in Vrindavan and the process of leaving. And I remember Bhakti Charamaraj coming. I think he just arrived from wherever he'd been. And he came in the middle of the evening, and the room was sort of dark, and just a couple of devotees were there. And he began. He came and offered respects and began to speak to Srila Prabhupada in such a gentle way and such a loving way that I just thought that here's the ideal disciple, a person who knows, not just knows, but who has the natural qualities of love and affection and knows how to behave perfectly as a disciple of such an exalted spiritual master. And he was speaking to Prabhupada in very soothing tones and very gently, and speaking in Bengali also, English both. And I just thought that here's the ideal kind of a person. Still, I think like that he has so much love and devotion for Srila Prabhupada, so much dedication to Prabhupada's movement. So, and I'll just say one other thing, because you all have things to say. But I remember I was with Prabhupada, not with Prabhupada, I was with Bhakti Charamaraj in Mayapur. And we were in a car along with, maybe it was Chandrasekhar, one of his disciples. And Bhakti Charamaraj, we were driving just inside the compound, and you know they have those posts for stopping cars. They keep a post in the middle of the road. And you can remove that post when necessary. So we were just moving slowly, and someone was picking up the post. And Bhakti Charamaraj began scolding this devotee who was sitting next to him. He said, "He's my godbrother. Don't let him do that. What's wrong with you?" and just chewed him out at teaching in that way. That don't think, you know, I'm everything and then these people are negligible. But teaching that to the he's my godmother. How can you sit there and watch him do this as if he were your servant? I was very impressed by that example. We've sometimes seen the opposite example in our history. And it was very ideal again. So I'm not going to say more. I think I should ask Abhiram Prabhu to speak. And then I know there are others also. Hare Krishna.
Let me say that I'm extremely honored to be with you and to be able to speak something about my very esteemed godbrother, Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj Prabhu. As Maharaj mentioned, I was in Calcutta, temple president in 1975-76, and at that time, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who was Bhakti Charu Prabhu at the time, he came in the temple. He joined in Calcutta. I think he had, and I'll be very keen to hear from you the more detailed history, because I'm a little vague on before he came to Calcutta. There was certainly quite a bit of natural Krishna consciousness, as Maharaj used that phrase, natural Krishna consciousness. His life, his birth, his family, those must be wonderful stories to hear. And it was quite obvious when he came in the temple that he also had some exposure to Srila Prabhupada before he came to the temple. There was some more history, which I'm not familiar with, and I'll be very eager to hear about it. But I remember the day I was in the office and he came in and he introduced himself. And I have had a great interest in antiquity and in understanding history. And when I was in India and in Calcutta, especially, as you know, Calcutta is always about 50 years behind the rest of India, and India is sort of, you know, culturally preserving. I'm not saying it in a negative way. There's a preservation of culture there. So that at that time, in 75-76, you never saw anyone with pants. And if they were wearing pants, then they may have been either a policeman or they were a tourist, which was extremely rare in Calcutta. Everyone wore dhoti. And there was no such thing as salwar kameez. That was only seen very rarely in the Punjab, up in that direction. But you never saw it in Calcutta. Everyone wore sari. So it was a long time back, and I was very keen to understand that culture from which Srila Prabhupada came from. And some of you are Bengali, I know, and some of you know, of course, about Bengal. There was an extraordinarily sweet culture. The language itself is full of affection and high regard for others. It's built into the language. You can't speak Bengali without speaking very sweetly about other persons. So the culture is like that. And of course, even the idea that you come to someone's house, when they say jal, you should take some water, they automatically mean sweets, sitting, sweet words, some water is just as incidental, so many other things come. And if you just put your guard down for a minute, those, especially those traditional Bengali families, they'll practically adopt you and absorb you into their life. They're so affectionate and so loving. And I was very interested in this because our Srila Prabhupada comes from Calcutta, 1896, and so I always try to understand the context from which things come, because then you can understand the thing a little bit more. And in this case, the thing was this incredibly amazing, wonderful saint who had come to America, and where did he come from? I was keenly interested. So I used to really peer in and look at the Bengali culture and try to see the old culture, what was remaining there. So I had a little bit of an understanding. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's grandnephew used to come and visit me in the temple and talk to me. And he looked very much like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had that same amazing, unique face and structure. And he was a wonderful man. And different amazing people would come. So I was a little bit prepared when Bhakti Chu Maharaj came in to understand that this is not an ordinary devotee joining the ISKCON movement. Of course, every devotee that joins is something special, really something special. But this was really I understood at that moment that this is really something extraordinary. That this young boy had such a cultured personality, such a gentle heart, and he absolutely represented everything that I had come to understand about what is that sweetness of old Bengali culture. So it was quite apparent from the very beginning. Of course, then his career became very quickly illustrious, and Prabhupada, as Maharaj mentioned, and some of you will elaborate on, I won't elaborate on, I'm not so expert on the details, but I did, of course, I knew him, and I watched him rise up very fast, without being surprised. No one was surprised, because as soon as they met him, they understood that he's just such a natural devotee. But I did again interact with him during the final months of Srila Prabhupada's apparent illness, or his departure. And of course, I was very keenly aware then of how very, very intimately Srila Prabhupada interacted with Bhakti Chu Maharaj. And you know, it's a very easy thing to say, you know, to try to glorify people and say that Prabhupada really acknowledged them, but Srila Prabhupada acknowledged everyone. Anyone he saw, just they glanced at them, and that person felt fully seen, fully understood, their heart's pains understood, and they felt loved just by a glance from Srila Prabhupada. But so he cared about every single person that he came in contact with. He was full of compassion in every way. But with Bhakti Chu Maharaj, I saw that Srila Prabhupada took some solace from the sweetness of the words, the way that he spoke to Prabhupada, the character that was required to be able to speak those words so sweetly. Srila Prabhupada took a solace from his company. It gave him some, I felt, this is my interpretation, but I'll give it to you since you're his followers. I felt Srila Prabhupada got some hope for the future of the Krishna consciousness movement by having such a fine young man with such deep cultural roots and such a simple and clean heart come forward. And now that my theory is being proven out, I'll claim that the evidence is here in this room, that all of you have been touched by Bhakti Chu Maharaj and your lives have been changed and transformed in a very real and very solid manner. So I can only be greatly awed by my godbrother, Bhakti Chu Maharaj. You're very fortunate to be his disciples. I'm very fortunate to be his godbrother. So we each get to see from a slightly different angle this wonderful personality. And he actually, just like he must for you, he brings a bit of choking in my heart and in my throat when I think of him. What a wonderful person he is. I'm so very honored to be in his company and with other godbrothers also, like Jagdoida Maharaj. It's just been such a wonderful experience to be in this sangha, in this group of wonderful devotees that Srila Prabhupada brought together And I've had the fortune to be with some of the most amazing and special devotees, as I am sitting here today. And amongst those great devotees, that my godbrothers, Bhaktachuru stands out very, very distinctly as one of the most extraordinary devotees. So I'm honored, and we're all honored by his kind association and kind blessings on us. And I think I've said some of the key things that come in my mind, but I'll be very eager to hear the elaborations and stories of his life, because I know he is a great man. He is a great devotee, I should say. Not man, but great saint. And clearly he's a saint. And has all the characteristics of a saint. So thank you, and ask you all to enlighten us more about Bhaktachuru Maharaj.
Thank you very much.